Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about the art of creating. Memes, one of my favorite things of being a parent is co-creating projects or imaginative, like, free play together with my child. How about you?
I agree. I'm often crafting, you know, encouraging self to make beautiful cards. Definitely have many, many bins of all the different artwork that is school projects, her own creations, the iterations of books and menus and different things. And, you know, I try to keep as much as I can, or at least one rendition of each of the items, because that is a common pastime, is creating. But I agree. I prioritize it. I enjoy sharing in that time. And as we were thinking through this, I think I also have, like, nurtured it for all of us, so that we're more open to doing, like, you know, Soph recently had a birthday party that was almost like it was at an art studio, so a G-rated paint and sip. And I think everyone's comfortable with that and open to that, because that's kind of how we've made it all together. That we try things and like to craft and play Pictionary, and, you know, we try to be vulnerable and try all those things together. So that creating sometimes is work, but a lot of times is play, and we all enjoy it.
Yeah, and I would say before becoming a parent, I wouldn't have labeled myself as creative. Like, that wouldn't have been an adjective that I would have used to describe myself. But then in the first couple of years, since Sasha, my oldest, we adopted at 8 years old, I remember him getting his first Lego set, and it was Batman. Guys, amazing. It had the Batcave, it had the Bat, like, jail for Joker. And I remember, because we built it, and then he didn't know what to do with it, because he didn't really understand how to play. That wasn't something that he was taught or allowed to do really freely back in the orphanage. And so I remember setting up my room as if it was the Batcave, and, like, giving voices to Batman and to Joker and all the other villains, and creating treasure. And it took me all the way back to the basement on 37th Street meme, where me and Dave used to get lost. Guys, my Barbie house growing up was the Ghostbusters three-story building. And the Barbies were too big for it, but the Ninja Turtles fit in just fine, and the Ghostbuster figures as well. So my brother refused to pick up a Barbie. He was all about his action figures. So we combined a world of Barbie and action figure heroes, and we would just spend hours just playing in this fake world and using our imagination and putting out all these problems. And then when I became like an adult, I kind of forgot about that until I had my son to play with. And then I realized, oh man, I am actually really creative. He stood there looking at me like I was crazy at first, but then slowly began to engage and enjoy it and get lost in whatever world we were making up. And I think you're right, Meme. Like, sometimes that's hard because it does make you vulnerable. Sometimes you get so silly that you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or breaking
what
apart the
Lego. What is that Barbie wearing?
Yeah. What is that Barbie wearing? What is she saying?
We just had Minnie Mouse walking the catwalk in some like day, night, rebel, evening gown, funky get up. So
You're like totally vulnerable with your ideas and thoughts and get caught up in play, but I think it's a great way to bond with your child. And I didn't realize growing up, like, unlike Memes, who was very a deep thinker and very connected with her environment growing up watching Deepak and stuff on PBS, which I was completely oblivious to. I'm like, where's Bob Ross painting so I could fall asleep? I didn't realize like that was my way of bonding with Dave so much growing up. Was all this play, right? Like when I actually had my own sons is when I realized how much of my middle school, even though I probably would have been embarrassed to say it then, me and Dave just spent playing like different games and just having fun. And so naturally becoming a parent brought that out again because I longed and desired to see that for my child who had never experienced that in his early ages to bring it about, which then led to learning differently, right? So we homeschooled, and even that means like opened a whole different door of creativity because, and then no longer was I bound to a desk in order to learn. And so a lot of our walks around our neighborhood would end up taking us on different adventures. And I remember with my third son, Ezekiel, and it was interesting because one of our neighbors had like something in their yard that was called like Fairy Garden. And so down our cul-de-sac, all the way down to the other cul-de-sac, we invented different lands. We had the fairy land and we would enter. Yes, there's a neighbor in my neighborhood that actually has bamboo, even though that's not permissible by the HOA. There's bamboo in his yard. And that became our bamboo jungle. And we would hide between bushes and go on these adventures and walk over the creek and get lost. But all of this was to breed creativity, right? And so Torn Tribe, one of the things that we often battle with as parents is one, tapping into our fun side again, or if we didn't have that growing up, building a fun side and being creative. And then once we step in there, how do we let our kids show up with their creativity and not overhaul the whole thing and have it be all about us, right?
Would highlight like a really big shout out in this as I'm thinking through is how much our parents played with us and engaged, because I think that's what it kind of brings out, is that we can go back to our child self. Like I've seen other parenting styles where the kids just play with the other kids, like, and it's a varying ages and it could be cousins and fake family and all that, but I actually really value, and I think the reason I can tap into my child self, like I shared around the holidays, that likes to have the biggest gift that's on the table. but it's because during that time, you can get to the level of the most, you know, curious, exploratory, like infant, toddler, right? Like tummy time and music and kids' nursery rhymes, but you can also, but I see that with my nephews as well when we're doing video games. Like Sofa's not so much into video games yet, but I can tap into that with the boys where we have our phases of like, we're gonna play Zelda again, or it's on a new system. And what did you play when you were kids and what it looks like now? But it's also the puzzle making and the Lego making as well for us. So I feel like because we were given that freedom and given a model of parents who sat on the floor, like I remember sitting, unless it's just like the pieces of memory you put together, I remember the little toy that like did the circle and the triangle and the square with you. And I guess it's that piece I'm putting together of it being a toy that I played with when I was younger. But our parents did model that for us. And so in my imagining of my parenting, or even being an aunt, or being, you know, friends with someone who has a little one, I have a friend who always said, she's like, you come, you throw yourself on the floor, you're like, you know all the characters' names, you know all the songs. And I didn't have kids yet. Because I do embrace that side. And I think if we can give that to our kids, I think it does make the work. So then when I got older and put together that the idea that there was creation in everything, right? Because as much as you might not think of it the same way as doing a project or painting, or the way my sister throws together slides for her presentations and the way she processes information is creation, right? Like, it did not exist before. It was, and even if it did, it probably wasn't as streamlined until she gets her hands on it. Yeah. So when you bring that into everything you do, then it gives them the power to see what creation could look like, right? And our kids are very artsy and do like music and are very creative in like the traditional way. But I think even if you had to get down to how you're going to be creative with a budget, or how you're going to get creative,
get very creative,
right? It is giving them those tools to think outside the box and have Barbies live in the Ghostbuster house.
Yes.
Create, you know, I think the kids together with those large Jenga blocks made themselves like a whole camp with walls, which was a different kind of fort, and making a traditional fort and buying tent forts and then combining them. But like, they've done that with each other. They've done it in their nuclear family. They've done it with extended family. We do it with each other. We have different phases and interests and strengths. But I think the creating has really been a catalyst for the personalities and the taking risks and trying different things for all of them.
Yeah, and so Torn Tribe, we want to acknowledge also that being creative and allowing for creativity takes work, and it can be overwhelming. If it's not your natural bent, it could be extremely overwhelming, because I remember, I forget what book I was reading at the time, but basically it was a book I was reading in order to help me with my homeschool curriculum. And it was all about allowing children to play and to really contemplate why you're saying no to certain things. It's a really hot day and you could do a science lesson about how you could cook an egg on your driveway. Why would you say no to that? Well, one, because you're tired and you don't feel like being out in the hot sun and cleaning up a mess afterwards. Like, sometimes like doing science experiments can be obnoxious because you got to clean up the mess. They usually don't stick around to help you clean up the mess. They just stick around for the fun part. The thing explodes. It worked. The egg cooked, you know. Mm-hmm. But the book was challenging the parent to really evaluate why they were saying no, and to really dig deep and try to overcome and say yes more often, so that your child can end up becoming a critical thinker and expand their horizons and try new things and not let hard things defer from hard things just because it was going to be messy, but to actually lean into it and push through. And so I just want to say, like, some things that you can do to help creativity become easier and open that door for your child is setting expectations. Like, if you're not a creative person, start small. And it could be just storytelling where there is no mess. Like, I literally bought like this little game. It came with like 6 dice in it. Each dice had a bunch of different pictures on it. And all you do is take the dice and throw them, and whatever icons pop up, you have to link them together in a story. And that's how we literally started storytelling with my oldest son, because play did not come naturally. And it was actually really stressful for him because he was scared to lose pieces, or once he built his Lego, he didn't want anybody to touch it because he was like, it took forever to get it to look like that. Can we just glue it so I don't lose a piece?
I'm with him. I just want a Lego museum.
Can we just Keep it together.
I just need a room with the spaces to put my Legos and the walls covered in my mounted puzzle.
Yeah, but... I know. That's the dream. Don't touch that. So to bring out creativity, I found a different way that was a little less stressful and no mess. It was just dice, you know. And you still had to be vulnerable because certain things you would say would completely not make sense, or you would find yourself stumped by an icon and like, I totally took this story this direction. Now, how do I loop this one in? Because I totally lost sight of this die. But it started opening door for storytelling or even just writing. And even with him, one way that we did creativity, because he needed comfort on knowing what to expect next, I would write stories about ordinary things, like going to the grocery store. And it didn't have, like, it had a beginning, middle, and end, but it didn't have, like, a climax or anything. It was just normal, everyday life. But to your point, meme, to show them there's creativity and there's learning everywhere, and there's ability to get curious and explore no matter where we are. And you could even do it in the kitchen and weave it into your everyday, because when you're cooking in the kitchen, you're creating and you're adding all these different things together to make this wonderful meal. Or you learn quickly what doesn't make a wonderful meal.
What you forgot.
Yeah. Sure. And what you forgot.
What you can improvise.
Yeah.
And I think leaning towards what you enjoy, like, we are water fun people, and so those are things we've also explored with the kids. Even if you have a preference, pool or beach, or, you know, just those exposures. So finding, if my strength is not camping, but I am open to it because it's something O has more experience with, and I am like, okay, I won't force you to glamp, but don't force me to sleep in a tent for more than a night. So, you know, just dabbling in what are your areas, because then those are the things you'll impart. And then I think taking the things that come along with school projects or different things, different times of year, celebrating or new awareness that your kids, I know more about rodents than I've ever known, because I'm just learning it through, like, I don't think that ever would have been the animal I picked a nonfiction book on. I got the whales. I understood why she picked whales at one point, but the rodents were very interesting to me. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, that you really absorbed all these facts. And so even learning again with them, right? Because some things are imparting what we've done, or, you know, like, I can't get her to look at a Ramona Quimby book yet. But we read all these Junie B. Jones books, and I had never read them, and they're hilarious. And so being open to, like, the journey they're on and what they're exploring, which could teach both of you, teach all of you at home, new things, open different curiosity, and let them be the expert bringing information to you as well.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned school projects, because, yes, I think that's a great way to partner with your child in co-creating something. I think projects, like schools that do project-based learning, are great. And even if they only are doing one project a quarter, I would encourage Torn Tribe parents, like, lean into it, and really put all of yourself in it with them, because you learn so much about your child and what they're actually learning in school and what they're interested in. That as they're growing up, you begin to understand their strengths and their weaknesses, their bents. And it actually helps you in later on, if you're going to have conversations, the infamous question that we all ask ourselves, what am I going to be when I grow up? Well, and observing you in kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, this is what you always gravitate to. And sometimes they can't see it for themselves because they're in it. Right? Like that famous saying, you know, they miss the forest because of the trees. So it's a perfect and amazing way to partner with your child to get to know them better. And I will say, with projects, like, managing your time. Like, don't be that parent that leaves it to the night before, because and then the process gets messed up. Like, you're stressed out, so you become angry, you become short-tempered, and then you're trying to do it all quickly, and half of more than half of the project's done by you because the kid falls asleep at the table, you know? So try to manage your time and get that school calendar and curriculum ahead of time so that you know when the projects are going to be due, what types of projects they're setting your kid up for, so that you can help them start looking at different options to complete the project and let them choose, you know, and just have conversations about what their project is about and what it means to them and what they want to get out of it, and then begin to help them bring their vision to fruition. And I think that's always my exciting part of projects being with the boys is that, and I don't know if that's because I'm a consultant and I do that for clients all day long, hear them say what their heart desires, and then I just help execute it. I'm just along for the ride. But I don't know. I really enjoy hearing what they envision and then showing them the art of the possible, that it's not a far-fetched idea, and
And
financing it all.
but I think the nuance in that is, along with the not doing it the night before, not rushing, not making the task kind of fall on you because the kid is not in the best condition to get it done, I think it's also knowing what can go, like what's required for that vision to come together, right? So a little bit of the I would say that the hack is to think through the time frame, as little time they may give you, or as much had you know, and notice that you have. What are the things that are best done on a afternoon in the weekend? What are things that can get done in your busy week and routine? That might be the research, that might be some drafting, but then really putting together the pieces and making sure you have all the supplies other times. Kind of stocking up on things that might be necessary or useful to have around so that when things come and it's like, oh, they want that back by Friday, and we didn't know that the weekend before, doesn't have to be stressful, is thinking through what the final product is going to require. What are the pieces? Is there a physical thing as well as a written thing? And I think laying that out for yourself. And then knowing how you're going to guide them is helpful, not to feel stressed because you're more the facilitator, but you're the project manager, kind of anticipating because you have a little more experience than they do, and then teaching them how to anticipate those things so they can feel successful when they're leading all of it, I think is helpful.
Yeah, and then it becomes a memento that you guys actually put something together. And memes, I know over the years, like what's happened with this process, Torn Tribe, is the more you co-create with your child, and the closer you guys become, and the more vulnerable you are in the co-creating process. As they get older, without you having to ask for it, they naturally invite you into their creation process. So the conversation about what career am I going to do, or where am I going to live post college, or what college am I going to go to, or what high school am I going to go to, or what sport am I going to commit to, those conversations become easier because I don't have to hunt them down for it because they're used to co-creating with me. They naturally invite me in and ask the question, like, what do you think, Mom? I'm thinking this. Can you help me research this? And what I've noticed is the more I play, free play with them, and the more I make myself available to partner with them in whatever project is assigned to them at school, and I hear them out. Or I just sit there and watch sometimes as they get older. You know, my sixth grader did this whole video on this book that he read, and I literally just sat there just watching clips, you know, little clips here and there of him stopping and saying, what do you think? What do you think? But I wasn't doing anything besides a soundboard, right? It's just fun to do that. So the more you make yourself available for that, they come around and they start asking you your thoughts. You don't have to just impose your thoughts, which I think ultimately as parents is the type of relationship we want, right? we want to be involved. We want to know. And eventually we want to grow to be that friend with them that's co-creating.
Yes. And so I will make my shameless plug. Girl Scout cookies are still available through the end of March. And that whole journey has been a mix of logging and daily check-ins. So an excuse for staying up a little bit longer in bed is the daily Girl Scout cookie check. It's like, oh, let's log in. How many sales are we on? Who else is new on my list? And I'm like, you're so obvious, but let's log on because I want to know too. And being creative about how we show gratitude to everyone that's been supportive, near and far, keeping people updated because, you know, it's a group effort. And so I really have liked this project. I've been pretty happy with Girl Scouts, and I'm liking this project from beginning to end, and the levels of being a cookie boss and doing a training to learn, you know. So it's like, you know, mommy, at my first booth, I have to make sure to wear my vest because they have to know I'm a brownie. And so she got it, right? Like, she earned her little badge that she got in going to the training. And then just scaffolding and repeating the play of learning those skills. And so as I was looking at the troop for the first time doing their tabling, I was envisioning them in future years with, like, all them. Like, the board was already them, but we had gotten the supplies. Like, we got them there. We made sure we bundled them up. We were rehearsing the script. But, like, more and more it will be. And then yet, what surfaced was their little slogan, which I hope they don't get in trouble for. I'm like, are they supposed to be singing a slogan at their booth? But they created with no direction, right? In the moment. So, and made it catchy, and we're doing little dances, and very invested in their sale. So I think the creation leads to more creation and more comfort with creation as well.
It's beautiful. So Tour and Try, we would love to hear about the play dates you have with your children or the projects that you've done with them that you're proud of. We all have our models. I still remember till this day, and I make sure my poppy knows that I remember it, my fourth grade whale. Tour and Try, there was no match. I wish there was Insta back then, because that was an Insta-worthy whale that he created with me. And when I think that I cannot do a project with a child, that I don't have it in me, I think back to that whale. And I'm like, my poor poppy, he stood up until 1 o'clock in the morning, smoothing out that Play-Doh for me, because I really didn't want my whale to have any cracks in it. Yes, you can. You can do it. You can partner with your kid. But we want to hear all about it.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
But transitioning to our men segment of the show, where we share what's helping us keep it together throughout the week of this parenting game that we got going on. Memes, what's mending you?
Well, I think if our parents listen to this episode, they're just going to be so proud of themselves because they get shout outs left and right. I wasn't feeling great out during my last break, so I didn't get to puzzle as much as I would have liked to. And I got back to it over this recent week that we had midwinter break. And my puppy joined me. He got hooked on the puzzle at Athena's. And then I finished my similar puzzle, because I was working on a mystery puzzle as well. And he came up the other day and was like, so where's that puzzle? I'm like, I finished that puzzle. Hello. These things don't take that long. But I was starting a whole new one. And so we started putting that together. But just, it's interesting because every time I'm doing one, mommy asked me why I like to do. I was doing Legos with Phil after Christmas. It's just like every time she sees me at a puzzle, or she sees me doing Legos, it's like where do you get this interest from? And I was like, I don't know. I just enjoy it. But I think it is part of my handiness, my craftiness, the visual that just sinks in with putting these things together that I definitely think I share with Puppy. And, you know, it's always fun to do those things with him.
Yeah, you guys have a process. And don't mess with the process, Torn Chart. Yeah, their process puzzles.
Exactly. He was on one corner doing an edge, and I was on another doing an edge. Edges are still not connected. We're getting there.
You're getting there. Well, that's awesome. I'm excited that you guys are puzzling again. So, Torn Chart, what's mending me? A couple of things. But I will say this... this research project with Philip, all about the world, with choosing a world changer and seeing him choose Albert Einstein and his love for science. And his, like, Phil's just in fascination with the fact that his hair was crazy and he's like, he went out like that? I'm like, yeah, I think so. They took pictures. I think he was out in public like that. So, but also his passion for science. And so exploring physics. And he's only in kindergarten. And we're busy trying to talk about physics here and gravity and the force of motion and all these things. And just his desire to want to know more. And want to learn more about someone else's life, not just what they were famous for, but like where they lived and the types of parents that he had, and some questions weren't out there to be answered. I was like, oh yeah, that, I guess, yeah, you could think about that too. So that project's just been a lot of fun to talk to him. And then my favorite part of it all is his demand for note cards. Like, guys, he's in kindergarten. He does not need index note cards for his presentation, but he cracks me up because he's like, we're going to write them, and then I'm just going to mix them up because it really does not matter the order in which I deliver this. It's like, okay, Phil, I leave it up to you. It's your presentation, and I guess you're right. It really does not matter the order the information's getting delivered. And there really isn't a beginning, middle, and end to this. So you can do that. But he's all set on, like, yeah, he's all set on writing the index cards with his notes and, like, mixing it up. It has to get mixed up. Not sure why. One day maybe I'll find out. Keeping us all on our toes. But, yeah, that's what's mending me. Bonding with Philip on his Albert Einstein project. So Torn Tribe, we would love to hear from you. What's mending you? And also Torn Tribe, and other, for other folks to be encouraged in their parenting journey, we need more ratings and feedback. So please visit us on any podcast platform and give us 5 stars and leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. It means tell our folks other creative ways to stay connected.
Whatever we turned into, we stayed on X because we just got an account when it transitioned. And then please email us tornmlb@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your favorite projects, the successes, the struggles, favorite reading, favorite activities. How do you cultivate the art of creating? Thanks for joining.
Choose grace.
When you feel torn, choose grace.